I tried to go clean from protesting, but I'm a recidivist. My government behaving with unlimited wickedness. In the interest of peace is how a liar wages war, then clamors for more. I wish we had elections every day. Wave the ballot in the air like a sign when I say, democracy delivered by the bomb and the gun is terror elsewhere in the world I'm from.
Yeah, I got a delivery for Iraq here. Can Iraq sign for it? It's a large box of freedom. Sorry, I meant explosions. The freedom is back ordered.
Do you cheer for the once and for all of an enemy whose hand all man Don was on in 83, but who now exemplifies all evil? It's what you get for shaking hands with people who represent
the vast and sinister interests of industry.
We protect the free trade world, so don't dare try to stop us. We deliver them bullets and sell them their coffins.
Hello, U.S. Senate. Yeah, I have 100 copies of the Abu Ghraib Prisoners Gone Wild DVD. There's also your bonus Abu Ghraib Prisoners Gone Wild totally spring break sign here.
And I wish that I could afford the ear of Bush the Second. I'd ask, is it your favorite philosopher who recommended invading and exterminating all who defy us? Crying out justice, but seeking out triumphs. Wasn't your Christ unbeloved of empires? One nailed his ass to a post, he expired. A terrorist, as Roman evidence showed, put down like a retard on the death row. In Texas, I guess, tough luck, right, George? Ain't that how every war gets scored? Big gun wins, winner gets a free turn. Enemy after enemy burns. Are you listening, sir? Or did your mind drift?
To the next country in your axis.
To all the cool bomb drops you get to call. Delivery fresh from the Fourth Reich to y'all.
The law of country.
American media is a business, and it has a mission. Not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men, and indoctrinate citizens with a capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And it's a good day! This is Sean Kennedy reporting to you from the internet for Wednesday, December 21st, 2005. And this would be Newsreel, the WOG Global Sit Rep for Core Political Tyranny, Technology, and Trends for your headspace and timing. Rand Media is taking a stand with only 9 days left in the year for free speech. I've got lost there, did you see that? And just by listening to this program where I just got lost, you are taking a stand too. You can read all the news stories along with me by going to my live journal, which is easily the best website on the web. And you can get to that said website by going to sean_kennedy.livejournal.com. This would be a free radio broadcast that could be on Rant Radio, Wild Bunch Radio, WNY Media Network, KJAG Radio, OspreyRadio.info, Extreme Radio Tampa, and SRN1. And you are free to distribute this broadcast any way that you see fit. As well, if you go to my live journal, you kick on my click on the friends link thing, you will find that I have apparently a friend listed on my live journal who's currently screwing with the wires. That would be Ronan Sariette, who's, of course, still camped out on my couch because he's homeless.
I told you, I'm not going anywhere. I got a good gig going on. I eat all your food, play with your dogs, sleep on your couches. I've now inhabited your den. I've moved from the living room to the den now. And
it's a study.
Eat your food. It's a study.
Animals have a den. I have a study. That's okay. How it works. You will have a den. So, in essence, what's happened is that my study has become your den. That's how that works, yeah. So, technically, I suppose, yes, you've moved into the den, as it should be known now.
Well, your study slash den is now mine. All of your den belong to us.
I'm going to have to phone pest control. That's what I'm going to need to do. But before I get into that, I need to call into my feedback category, which, when you actually think back how that makes sense, call into my feedback category, that doesn't make any sense whatsoever. But this is because...
Yeah, well, coming from you, I'm not surprised.
I can't get any sleep. I got this army guy surfing porn all night, turning it up to 11. You know, it's not good.
Yeah, baby!
And the really bad thing is if my wife discovers that I've hidden an army guy somewhere in the house, I'm going to be a dead motherfucker. It's very hard for me to slip the earplugs into her ears as we go to sleep at night. It's bad.
Well, I got the tool for that.
Do you? What's that?
You know what I got? I got me a fine-ass Brunton titanium spork.
That's right. That was the Christmas gift. I gave him a titanium spork for Christmas because, you know, I figure, hey, if he's going to get himself killed in Afghanistan, they may as well get some good loot off the body.
That's right.
That's the idea.
And at 0.6 an ounce, I can back many.
Yes, that's right. You can have them for many little friends. You know, usually you don't have to, you know, so other people, because we're all Geardos here. Everybody's a Geardo. I mean, WOGs, by their very nature, I think, are becoming more and more Geardo as time progresses. Everybody's all into that. And this is WOGs in the classic sort of sense, as in, the, well, not in the classic sense, more in the New Age sense versus the WOG Australian sense, where if you're not white, you're a WOG, or the Army sense, where if you're a WOG, you're a paper-pushing fat man. So, or woman, yeah, as the case may be. So in any case, let's get into some feedback straight off the top. This is the category I was going to kick into, or call into, or something. Dear Sean, funny comment. Jesus, I'm going to have a hell of a time getting through this show.
I'm there to pick you up, brother.
Yeah, my throat's already starting to hurt here. Funny comment on Monday, December 12th, about if you make your own robot, it's your slave. Sim, not some. Some is, you know, a short. It's C-I-M-M. But you did put two M's on it, so we'll give you that. You got two of the four, 50% right. Asked if it applies to kids also. Growing up, I would ask my dad why I had to do chores and the house, and he always said, that's what kids are for. When I have IOM, I can have them wash dishes and cut the lawn. It bugged me at first, became a joke later. I can't wait to have kids, to have them clean up around the house. Of course, my parents will then come around and just spoil them like my grandparents did. Now, this is one of the problems with doing the whole child spawning thing. Pretty much to me, it's a 23-year sentence and, you know, $500,000 in fines, you know, just for one night of passion. Seems like kind of a ripoff to me, generally. You know, totally unnecessary in this age of birth control.
$11 at the Shoppers Drug Mart, man. Cost effective.
Exactly. You know, exactly. Next piece of feedback. Hey-ya, Sean. Hey-ya. Hey-ya. Sean, listen to the Monday Night Show, the part regarding patrolling season 2 is lacking comment. I just wanted to say, although the person has the right to speak what he or she thinks, I just wanted to say that I think season 2 is great. Yes, it takes a different direction from season 1, but it was more about gear and essential stuff, and there's only so much for essentials. Otherwise, yeah, well, this is entirely it. I ran out of material. What do you want from me here? Sean, we want another episode, but I covered everything. But we want another episode. So I gave them one, and then they're like, we don't like it. Well, tough.
Build and they will bitch.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, season after now much, but anyway. When I first saw the intro for the first episode of season 2, I was actually excited. I'm hoping that's excited rather than exited. The different intro let me know that this would be another step towards something different, just as SKTF MTV is vastly different from patrolling. Does anybody else there realize how fucking hard it is for us to crank out this much media with no budget? No budget. I have less budget than the Doctor Who series in the early days. Okay, like, no budget, none. Nero, okay, like
you're not
fuck
even scraping.
All.
You're not, like begging for
not there.
Stealing.
Yeah. Yeah, like I'm funding this on minimum wage. Like, don't even try to fuck with me on this one. But anyway, I also wanted to mention/ask a few things. Number one, concerning you joining the military again and reducing the frequency of your show. Both good things. You'll be doing something that you actually enjoy, i.e., the military, rock on, dude. And I myself never had the time to actually listen to each and every episode of Newsreel, which I always felt I might be missing something important. Like the one day a week thing, I think it's anticipation to give something to look forward to. I donate to the cause of Newsreel. I will continue to do so. It's sort of sad that thousands of listeners and only 100 or so have subscribed. The bastards. Hee hee. Which, thank you for mentioning that. You know, considering there's like, what, I don't know what it worked out to. Something like 7,000 downloads and there's 65 people who donate.
That's fucking weak.
That is kind of weak, but there's a lot of people who don't have any money. I mean, there's a lot of people who are after free media, you know what I mean? And as all these draconian laws are coming in, cracking down on, you know, information, stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
In essence, the MPAA is probably driving more people to me because, you know, you're free to distribute this program. You can do whatever you want with it. Fair ball. Until I get sued, of course, for whatever whim law they decide to cook up. But thank you for noting that. And thank you for subscribing because those people who do subscribe, well, I love them just that little bit more. You know, which is a sad thing to say. But it's true. I mean, they put their money where their mouth is. You know, they're like, oh, man, you're really cool. Thanks.
And that's loyalty, actually.
Yeah, it is. It is.
That's loyalty.
It's pretty cool. So thank you very much. Anyway, number two. Congrats on the whole damn year of this, man. Take some of that conviction and dedication. Let me try that again. Number two. Congrats on doing the whole damn year of this, man. That takes some conviction and dedication. You give yourself and the community so... You give and give to the community, so do not feel like an ass for taking a few days off. You deserve them, damn it. Number three, When I first saw the new intro for Patrolling, the one thing that really struck me, you're looking real good, man. Not in a gay kind of way. Oh, come on. We can kiss. The short wear where you decked out in the black and the leather jacket, running like your life depends on it. At first, I didn't notice that it was you right away. It had a very action film feel to it. The effects of your workout regime are very noticeable. Congrats. Well, yeah, and eventually, you know, we're not done filming. I mean, one of the nice things about doing this is eventually, you know, I'll sit back in my couch until I get, you know, totally inspired to do something else video. And I'd like to do, because if I'm going to do, like, some kind of movie or fiction film or something like that, and I'm going to be any kind of an action star, because, you know, I just wouldn't cut it in a romantic role, I'm going to need to look the part. You know, you can't really be a weathered road warrior guy who's all tubby and shit. You know, that wouldn't really work. I'd be like, well, here I am, eating a lot of K-rations. You know, it's not going to work. You know, so you got to kind of look the part. Number four. Been reading The Bloodstained Rabbit off and on. My personal time is limited. Well, yeah, must be real limited because it's a short book, and it's a short, shitty book with a reading level of about 5. But anyway, I like it so far. I look forward to getting a copy of Scab Wings of Abaddon. Well, thank you very much. Number 5. I'm an artist myself, both hobby and by trade. I was interested in your After Now graphic novel project, but I fear I probably could not dedicate a ton of time to it. Is it still in the works? Are the chapters and stories going to be unrelated events to the After Now world, an adaptation of the currently storied extension? Do you intend to do another graphic novel projects in the future? Looking forward to an After Now DVD release. Okay. I am burned the fuck out. Okay, doing this show for a year. Sorry, I've got nothing for you. I did do a story format for, you know, Tales from the After Now. Anybody can do what they want with it. Sims got it. Whatever he decides is okay with me. I've had about enough of the After Now as I can fucking handle. Okay, very sorry. Too fucking bad. All right, so that's how that works. Maybe in the future I'll pick it back up again, but as for right now, fuck off. Anyway, I think that's it. Leviathan, well, thank you very much. P.S. If anyone ever felt like sending you something, not a bomb or anthrax or anything, how would he/she go about doing that? I'm really not comfortable with knowing your home address, though. Does Rant Media have a shipping address or post office box or anything, just out of curiosity? Why, yes, they do. And this is directly from our website, which is rantradio.com. Send media, merchandising, letters, or propaganda to Rant Media Studios, Box 18121, 1215C, 56th Street in Delta, British Columbia, Canada, V4M2M4, okay, so that's our postal code there. Note, okay, any packages that come from the States that are not marked as a gift with a value of $0 will be refused at the post office and returned. So if you send us anything, make sure you list it as a gift with a value of $0, okay? Otherwise, you're going to be getting it back, and that would suck, and it, you know, sends bad ideas and stuff like that. On to Sort Yourself Out. Hey, Sean! Got a good one for you today. Here's the situation. Family members that I have never met before or have even heard of have shown up and are currently living in my home. It gets better. The reason why they are living with us, mother and I, is because their lawyer managed to take millions of dollars from them, they found out, and said the lawyer is now trying to kill them before it goes to trial. Very James Bondian. No one in our immediate family has tons of cash, as they seem to. The lawyer's story that I heard from Mom doesn't seem possible at all, and it seems very likely that they think the family members are taking her for all they can get. From the current information I have, mostly from other relatives, these people living with us have no cash, have never been connected with cash. In fact, according to a couple of relatives, they have swindled other family members. I seriously doubt that Mom is that stupid to be taken for a fool, but a lot of their story for being here doesn't add up. For instance, one of the relatives has gotten a job at a local pizzeria, which is odd to say the least. If they're supposed to be out by early January, but if they are getting jobs, how long are they staying? When asked, Mom said they couldn't get to any of their vast wealth because the lawyer would find them. This is bullshit, obviously. Having little knowledge of this technology helps, but this doesn't add up, and they have a cell phone with their name on it. They have to pay the bill somehow. Companies don't take cash, so it must go through some banking system. How do they buy fuel? Or do they just carry on wads of cash with them? Then why the job? They were living in another state for a few months, but they said evil lawyer dude found them there. I don't suppose anyone would ever consider calling the police about evil lawyers trying to kill you. About 800 miles in a gas-guzzling truck, and they had to stop for gas, right? Why don't they have a restraining order? Go ahead and arrest the guy for conspiracy to commit murder or something to that extent. Why did they just show up at our door with little or no prior warning? The facts don't add up, Sean. So I have 4 options. I admit I don't have all the data, but I cannot make a move either way. Options are, I waited out, try to figure out what's going on subversively, just interrogate them, and finally, there is someone out there to get them, and we end up in the crosshairs. What are your thoughts on this? Okay, first of all, before we go any further, you have to ask yourself this question. Do you have the ability to do anything about this in any way, shape, or form at all, period? Let's say you decide that they're actually scam artists, which clearly they are, from what you've told me. I'd be like, well, you know, if I had to make a call, get them the fuck out. You know, that'd be my call. But, you know, I'm not there. I don't know these people. Maybe it's true. There are evil lawyers. I highly doubt it. The whole thing seems totally preposterous. So let's assume they are evil. Do you have the ability to do anything about it? No. Chances are you don't. Because you just have, you don't have a lot of income. You're just kind of sitting around, blah, blah, blah. Nothing bad. Maybe you're going to school. I don't know. So it seems to me there, Zyntwine, that, you know, you need to figure out if you can do anything about it. Now, if you can do something about it, so if you have the data, right? I mean, if your mom has the power, I mean, you can tell your mom, look, mom, this is bullshit. We got to get rid of these people. Well, they're leaving in early January. Get a date. Get a date and get them gone. That's the way it's got to work. And enforce that fucking date. That's what you got to do. It's this time. It's like at a fucking, say, you know, on January the 9th at noon, you're gone. And that's not January 9th at 1 o'clock. It's January 9th at fucking noon. They're gone. And if that means that you got to get them out of the house, that's what you got to do. You know what I mean? And then if they're not gone by like 1:30, you call the cops. These people are invading my home. Get them the fuck out of here. And at that point, you'll create such a ruckus. And you can also threaten them with the fact that if you don't, I'll phone the fucking lawyer and tell him where the fuck you are. Well, there is no lawyer. Wow, you lied to me. Get out of my house. You know what I mean? So you want to nail down a deadline to get these people the fuck out of your house. But, I mean, realistically, I would be focusing more on stuff that you can do something about, like your studies, things like that. It's not ways to get a job, you know. And, of course, in keeping with the Sean tradition, if you can't find a job or anything else, I would recommend joining the Army, and that will very definitely get you out of the house. Thank you very much. So that's you know, because keeping with Sim's definition of how my answer for everything is join the military. Because I guarantee these motherfuckers aren't showing up on base to live with you. I'll tell you that right now. That shit gets sorted out. Too sweet. Comments?
I'm very lucky in the fact that I don't have any, like, gratuitous leeches in my family.
Other than you, living on in my tent.
I'm talking about my family leeching off of me.
Oh, but, right.
Know,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Other than me. I mean, I leech off you pretty good. I mean, you've been buying a lot of meals.
Yeah, I've been, but you've also been loaning me your car. So, you know, tit for fucking tat.
Actually, I've been loaning you my wife's car.
Ooh.
Yeah, if she finds out about that, I'm dead too.
Yeah, okay, she won't find out about that.
Yeah, so far
we've... the fucking evil lawyers on her.
That's right. Well, no, unfortunately, because she's in with God, because she does that whole Christian thing.
Ooh.
But she actually talks to him, like he shows up, they have coffee and shit, yeah.
Was that who just left there?
Yeah, that's the Holy Ghost, yeah. It's kind of freaky, actually. They hang out, they have tea.
It's funny, I pictured him a little bit taller.
Yeah, you know, they always look bigger. Of course, it's always, you go to church, there he is, he looks huge, you know, he's up there on that stick and everything, you know, yeah, it's intense.
Yeah, get new family.
Yeah, move out, thanks for calling.
Make him sign a contract.
Bail. Now, speaking of bailing, let's talk about the Desert War. I got some Desert War news here.
Ooh.
Ariel Sharon reportedly plans to punish Iran's Ahmadinejad. Now, do you know how to say this motherfucker's name? Because I think I usually call him Leon. What the hell is his name?
Holy Christ.
That's the Iranian Prime Minister.
Ahmadinejad.
Okay, Ahmed. He's now Ahmed. For his blatant anti-Israeli remarks. Now, this article is from, you know, Pravda. So, you know, I don't think he's punishing him for making bad remarks. A lot of people make fun of the Jews. But I'm just saying that I think he's more concerned about nukes being developed by Iran, which is a cause for concern. Prime Minister Ariel Sharon has ordered the Israeli military command to prepare a military operation against Iran, which I've reported before. An airstrike on nuclear objects in the Islamic Republic was set for March 28th. Now we have a date. It was set for March 28th. Israeli military structures set. The date was supposed to attack coincides with a general election in Israel. Israel intends to strike Iran for the country's persistent arms raid and anti-Jewish sentiments released from the Iranian president Mahmoud Ahmadinejad. News messages about Israel's intention to fire missiles on Iran's first appearance on the pages of Britain's Sunday Times. According to newspaper sources of the Defense Ministry of Israel, Ariel Sharon will order the launch airstrikes on top-secret uranium-enriched enterprises situated in different parts of Iran. The strikes, reportedly slated for early spring 2006, are to hit the nuclear objects located in near settlements and industrial areas of Iran, which is probably going to send a lot of radioactive shit all over the people of that area. The above-mentioned items, the above-mentioned terms of the operation, the newspaper wrote, is connected with Tehran's nuclear program first and foremost. Israeli intelligence officers found out that the quantity of enriched uranium that Iran would have at its disposal by the beginning of spring will be enough for making an atomic bomb. The first nuke could be made in only 1 year. Now, normally I would say, whoa, Israel, you're getting a little bit jumpy there. You know, I mean, this country is developing, you know, nuclear stuff. I mean, they have a right to nuclear power. But the problem here is their nuclear program is run by the military. And the president of the country got up and said, we need to wipe Israel out. They're fucking evil and we're going to destroy them. And if they kill all of us, it's not a big deal because there's more Muslims than Jews. So eventually we will wipe the blight off the face of the planet. Insert Hitlerian speech here.
Right.
So, you know, I kind of got to side with Israel on this one. I mean, I've been siding with Israel a lot, you know, which is kind of funny, me being, you know, the big anti-Mud Hut crowd, you know. I'd be like, yeah, you know, I don't know why I wear the hats. And, the only Jews I ever met was at that camera store in New York. Nice guys. Little hats on and lots of robots. Jews, robots, you know.
Seems perfectly normal.
Yeah, they don't have a space program, but that's currently because they're at war with everybody around them. It's trying to kick their ass because they don't like them or something. You know, so, the Jews have never fucked with me. I'll tell you that right now. You know, I never hear about Jewish suicide bombers.
No, they're pretty rare.
They're pretty rare. You know, there's a few people who go on about Jewish people, you know, in conspiracy theories and stuff like that. Apparently, there's some Zionists, which is quite different from Jews. Zionists are like the Hitlerian Jews, as I understand. They're like Jews first and foremost, you know, Jews. They're Jew extremists.
Jew it up. No, here I got a little bit of follow-up info on this entire psycho Iran thing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the President Mukhtar there fucking has called for the banning of all Western music on Iranian radios now.
Really?
Yeah, just read that in the papers today. Western music,
no more
fucking bad.
Oh, all bad. Yes. So what other kind of music is there?
Blah, Mukhtar, I love my goat.
Yeah. I mean, that's bad. You know, we don't know for sure that they love their goats.
Okay,
but I mean,
we can surmise.
Okay, but we don't dig that music.
No.
Not that there's anything bad with it. But yeah, okay.
No.
So, but all Western music is bad.
All Western music is bad.
Do we know why it's bad?
Well, because it represents the Western culture and probably
all Western culture's bad.
Yeah, derogatory. You know, talk about like you know weed and sex and cars and bling and shit like that. I mean, I'm sure Iranian people don't even know what bling is. But
they probably don't. I mean,
they probably don't.
They probably do. I mean, they got the big bling. Did you know that there's actually apparently. Apparently, I've never seen photos of it. Actually, I'd love to get some photos of this. But there's a man-made island. No shit. In one of the seas there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know if this is an urban myth or what. Somebody can sort me out. But I read this somewhere. I heard it somewhere. I can't remember where I got this from. So here we go. I'm sure I'll get the email on this. But there's a man-made island that if you look at it from space, it looks like a prayer. Like they do that Arabic script or whatever.
Yeah.
And the whole thing is like inlaid with gold and shit. And it's like the super rich Islamic playground, you know, Disneyland hotspot.
Well, that's a good use of resources.
Yeah. Yep. And I'm like, holy crap. So on that story alone, an island made of gold, that's a lot of bling. That's like huge blingage on the go. That's bling, bling, bling.
That beats 50 Cent all the shit, I think.
All too shit.
Now, don't let the subject die. Also reading something interesting last night. Pakistan has vowed that if fucking Iran decides to mix it up with anybody like the states and Israel, they will back them. Pakistan being buddies with Iran.
Oh, good. Good, good, good.
Fucking perfect.
Now, was there any particular reason why Pakistan would decide to do that?
Yeah, well, they've done some, like, wheeling-dealing arms deals and, like, you know, solidifying our entire Muslimness and all that good stuff. And, Iran's a big trading and arms partner.
Now, again, there's a lot of moderate Muslims out there. And it's not like I'm anti-Muslim. I'm anti-Mud Hut for any crowd. I don't agree with religion. I mean, you can believe what you want. Hell, you can believe in the great white fucking, you know, pumpkin for all I care. That's fair ball. But when you start using religion to declare war, that's bad. And what's happening is that the leaders of some of these predominantly Muslim countries are, well, they're trying to make it a cultural war is what they're going to do. And, you know, we I'm not against Muslim culture. I mean, I have a problem with some of their problems regarding women. I think they should get the 21st century and shit like that. But as you know, like if it wasn't for the fact, like we're not starting this shit, is what I'm getting at here.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, we're
it's
not.
Like you don't see any videos online of American guys going in there and blowing up their pizzerias. I mean, it doesn't really happen. You know. So it seems to me that they're kind of being all psycho about this shit. Or maybe it's because we're selling fast food over there and they don't like that. You know, or I don't know what the fuck the deal is, but bottom line, you know, I guess what is the bottom line? It's going to be a cultural war, and, well, you know, I guess if it's down to picking sides, I prefer Western culture. That's just me.
Thank you very much.
Because I dig the music and the food and porn. A lot of porn in Western culture. Never seen any Islamic porn. Never seen that.
Yeah, no, I don't think I'd want to either.
Islamic porn?
Well, you got to figure. You got to fucking figure, okay? I mean, they got these big-ass, you know, burqas, hijabs, and all these robes and shit like that. You know, if they're so repressed that they can't even, like, listen to Western music, chances are they probably are sporting the great big bush still. And that's just, the 70s bush is not sexy, you know?
I have no comment. I'm going to carry on with the show. In Franken Food News! Actually, I've seen a lot of Islamic women, and they're really hot. I actually went kind of going on the way back.
Israeli women are hot.
There was a – what's that?
Israeli women are fucking hot.
I met a chick who was Israel. She was Pakistani, and she was – I don't know if you remember her. Her name was Dina.
You never let me meet her, actually.
Yeah, she had a set of eyes on her, man. She had that whole Arabic thing on to go. Fuck, she was hot. She was hot, let me tell you. You know, they're not too big on, you know, getting anywhere from home base, though. You're not going to get to first or second, you know, it's kind of because she was pretty, you know, that way, which is classy. That's
traditional.
Classy. You know, traditional is cool. But, man, yeah, she was hot. I mentioned that, you know, I kind of agreed with Israel, and she kind of lost her mind a little bit there, sort of had kittens. But, yeah, you know.
That's why you never let me meet her, which is probably a good thing.
Probably, yeah.
I guarantee you she had the big 70s bush.
We don't know that. We don't know that.
I can fucking guarantee you.
No, we don't know that. In Franken Food News. You know, you run the risk of being called a racist. You run the risk.
Why? I'm not a racist.
You're running the risk.
That's
enough
who?
To scare the shit out of anybody. You could be called racist. You can't talk like that. Isn't that ridiculous?
Not even on your show?
Well, of course. No, I'm being sarcastic. You see, now normally, it's like I've got this fear now of being called a racist. You know, because we're so terrified to even say, make jokes, ethnic jokes, anything. It's like we're terrified of that shit. Because, oh God, we'll get called racist. You know, but clearly, you know, I'm about the least racist person I know. I've said before, I'll say it again, I'm a cultural bigot.
Sure.
I think that my Western culture is a shitload better than, you know, herding goats and not being allowed to read. You know, these are big things. I think women are people. Whoa, slow down. You know.
You're going extreme.
Yeah, I'm
Step
whoa,
back
out of control. You know, just because we think it's okay to kill women for cheating on their husbands, that doesn't mean we're backwards. No, it means you're fucked, is what it means. And let me tell you, if I were to line up on you and you were going to kill your wife, you'd be fucked for sure. But anyway, on to Franken Food News. In Franken Food News, in Orleans, France, in judgment expected to send a chill through companies growing genetically modified crops in Europe and embolden their opponents. I'm not even sure embolden's a real word. A French court acquitted 49 activists who destroyed genetically modified plants after ruling their actions were justified. So these activists went in, destroyed a bunch of plants, and then it was ruled that their actions were justified. The court in the central city of Orleans dismissed the criminal charges of organized vandalism against 49 who had uprooted GM maize in the region planted by the U.S. biotechnology group Monsanto in two incidences, one last year and the other in 2005. Now, I hate Monsanto. Without a doubt, but you got to look at this objectively here. The defendants have shown proof that they committed an infraction of voluntary vandalism in a group to respond to a situation of necessity. The court said, "Wow, that's pretty hardcore. This is like a landmark ruling. That's like direct action." The court goes, "Yeah, the companies were being evil, so you're okay." Scary stuff. The court, however, upheld the civil complaint against the 49, ordering them to pay a total of 6,000 euros, $7,000, to Monsanto in damages and interest. Although the sum was a small fraction of the 398,000 euros the U.S. company had been seeking. One of the activists, Jean-Emile Sanchez, called the verdict a huge victory in the anti-GM side and said the judgment would form an important legal precedent. Yeah, I would say so, because it's like, we went in there, did direct action, and then we're going to prove that our action was justified. This is could be a potentially a huge can of worms. You know what I mean? Like, I would say, yeah, they probably were, but I would watch for a lot of other actions, and maybe some of them won't be so justified. And there's a lot of activists and peace activists and stuff like that who are fucking extreme.
Oh, I there's some right fucking nut bars out there.
There's some wing nutty motherfuckers. Like Paul Watson. Paul Watson, crazy motherfucker. Crazy motherfucker. Spiking trees. Now, I don't like clear cutting as much as the next guy. Okay? But I'll mow down a shitload of forest before I kill somebody. You see what I'm saying? Like, you got to have your priorities straight here. Okay? You don't go and kill people because they're destroying plants. That doesn't work. You know what I mean? So, and what he was doing is just spiking trees, disfiguring loggers, killing loggers with these booby traps he was setting in the forest.
Yeah.
Now, that is terrorism. I'm sorry, you're a psycho. You're laying traps for civilian workers. Okay, because you don't agree with the politics which has been decided they're legally doing. All right, that's a problem. When Paul Watson was kicked out of Greenpeace because he was too extreme. Okay, well, you know. Now, there's the big seal hunt that he always goes up there and tries to fuck with that. Sketchy stuff, controversial stuff. A lot of people, you know, they're like, oh, shit, man, you know. I don't know. Well, you were talking about going over and shooting poachers, Sean. What's the difference? Well, the difference is that you have some legalities there. You know, I mean, yeah, it gets pretty hazy out there. It does. But you do have to kind of look at this and go, well, you know, what is legal? What is illegal? Now, on the open sea, where there is no law, right, and people are hunting whales and shit, but there's no law, you know, technically you're not breaking the law. You're guilty of piracy if you attack another ship. But you're in international waters. That's no man's land. So you're not really committing a crime if there is no law. But again, we're getting into some really sketchy territory. You know, sketchy, sketchy, sketchy. And you're quite the animal rights activist in your own right.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm also a little bit of a hypocrite in the fact that I like my steaks and I like my leather shoes as well. But yeah, there's a lot of stuff out there when it comes to the animal world that I'm, like, dead set against.
Right.
The moderate part of me does realize, you know, that animals can be, in some fashions, a renewable resource. You know, as much as I love my fucking burger, I don't exactly, like, support hunting by any stretch of the means. And,
How about, and I was meaning to ask you about this, so I may as well ask you this on the air now. Now, I myself want to learn how to hunt because should I be in the bush or something to that effect, and I have to do the whole, like, go native thing, you know, so that I can, like, eat and shit like that, is that negative for me to do that?
Well,
would you say, Sean, you're a dick?
I can understand it, and believe me, I mean, there's far more hunters out there, and hunters that are, you know, true conservationists at the same time, you know what I mean? Like,
oh, yeah.
Guys that go out the bag like a moose a year and feed their family for months on end.
Yeah, it's like, I shoot one animal a year, I don't enjoy it, I treat it as a sacred act, so on and so forth. Yeah,
yeah. Lots of respect on the go and all the rest of that shit.
Which is important. I mean, that's fucking vital. I think the people who go out and just geek these fucking things, you know, and cut
for
off the antlers and shit,
and
cut
face.
Some hooves off, and yeah, to put the face on the wall. Fuck that.
Yeah, those people need to be fucking kneecapped from a distance.
Well, I wouldn't go that far, but I would say that...
well, I would.
You would. So, you know, that's your views. Yeah. I'm not so much, you know, I think it should be made illegal. And once they're breaking the law doing that, then they're poachers, you see. And
poaching already is illegal.
And poaching already is illegal. So if you're a poacher, oh, yeah. Yeah, that's fair game on you. Yeah, we'll shoot you from the air. Yeah, that's fine. I have no problem geeking poachers. Now, these assholes who are going up into the interior, killing bears, cutting their nuts off, and slitting them open, taking a gallbladder or whatever, you know, leaving the carcass to rot in the sun. They're doing it with bows. It's in Chinese circles, I guess bear nuts are big juju, you know, in their
big
world.
Stuff for, like, aphrodisiacs and, like, you know,
the rest of it, yeah.
Gallbladder cures fucking blindness and makes people walk again, yada, yada, yada.
Yada, yada, yada.
Yeah,
so
you need to fucking be tagged behind the ear.
Right, so that kind of shit, not on. Not on, you know, clearly, as Canadians, the animals in this realm are under our care. And if somebody is attacking to kill them, then, you know, they're breaking the law, so it's a matter of measured force against them. And I would say that, yeah, fucking shooting poachers is okay. Now, it's different between shooting poachers and shooting a hunter who made a legitimate mistake. Okay, then we're getting into some scary territory here.
Yeah, good hunters don't make many mistakes, you know what I mean? So,
Yeah, so if you're busted and you're like, hey, it says you're allowed to shoot four deer, you've killed five deer, but you're allowed to kill four deer. So what's the button? Do we tap them? No, I wouldn't say we tap them, but guess what? You're not hunting anymore. Thanks for calling. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
And you can do, like, maybe there might be a way to get that back after 5 years or some shit like that, and a whole shitload of courses and blah, blah, blah.
Remedial math class.
Yeah, but we'll make that shit expensive. You know what I mean? Now, in Waterworld news, here's something that you're going to be interested in.
Lay it on me.
It's becoming a strongly held belief by some in the Storm Zone, the idea that the destruction of the New Orleans heavily poor, heavily black Ninth Ward was neither an accident nor an act of nature. Okay, this is the area of New Orleans that was all flooded and fucked over.
Yeah, the vast majority thereof.
Yeah. Now, they've taken that whole region now, and corporations are moving in there, and they're rebuilding, right? So they're turning into an upper-scale region. So it's been a big land grab. Deanne French, known as Mama D, a New Orleans citizen and community leader, she testified before the House Select Committee on Hurricane Katrina on Tuesday. I was on my front porch, she says. I have witnessed that they bombed the walls of the levee. Boom, boom! Her statement here. Mama D said, holding her, Mister, I'll never forget it. Certainly, it appears to me to be an act of genocide and of ethnic cleansing. Well, okay, now, that's not genocide.
Whoa!
Yeah, I might give you ethnic cleansing. Maybe, if we go with the original definition of the word, but baby, you are reaching. And unnecessarily. Okay, that's unnecessary. It's bad enough that you don't have to sit there and start putting all this extra sauce on it. That's bullshit. I mean, you can't commit. Genocide is Rwanda, okay? This was not Rwanda. Anyway, Lee Hodges, another New Orleans citizen, told the committee. Similar statements, sometimes couched as rumors, have also been voiced by Louis Farrakhan, leader of the Nation of Islam, and director Spike Lee. But that said, Louis Farrakhan thinks that white people are the results of an experiment by an evil scientist on the rear side of the moon, and Spike Lee is crazy. So,
not a lot going on here to back up this theory with normal
other than observation.
People.
But there is also, you know, okay, but let me get through this here. I don't find it too far-fetched, Spike Lee said in a recent television interview, that they tried to displace all the black people out of New Orleans. Okay, I don't really think it was a black-specific thing. If I was to say anything, it might be a poor-specific thing, but I'll get to that. Harvard's Alvin Poussant says such conspiracy theories are fueled by years of government neglect and discrimination against blacks, slavery, segregation, and Tuskegee experiments. I have no idea which Tuskegee experiments are. During which, poor blacks were used to test on the effects of syphilis. Oh, that's what the Tuskegee experiments were. If you're angry and you've been discriminated against, Poussant says, then your mind is open to many ideas about persecution, abandonment, and feelings of rejection. The latest theory is partly rooted in historical fact. In 1927, the levees were bombed to save parts of the city, and black neighborhoods were inundated. So, you know, it could be, you know, when you look at this and you look, okay, hang on, who stands to gain from this? So this big flood, you know, because every year they have a hurricane season down there. They bomb the shit out of it, right? They plant the charges. They go, right, hurricane hits. Wham! Area floods. Oh, shit, horrible displacement. Yada, yada, yada. We have to call in the National Guard. Oh, yeah, all this really valuable land gets seized. Everybody gets displaced. We don't have to buy any land for fuck all. A lot of money there. A lot of money there. A lot of big deals going on. So it's a feasible conspiracy theory. You know, I mean, you'd only have to pay off a few people, you know, to do something like this and have a few black ops done, you know, to make something like that happen. So it's a feasible conspiracy theory, I would say. And whether or not I believe that, see, the problem is where I think this kind of a thing falls apart is, unfortunately, the military, which this is where it kind of starts to fall apart, there's a lot of black people in the military. A lot of black people in the American military, okay?
Oh, huge numbers, yeah.
Huge numbers.
Huge.
So, now, special forces operatives, who would be the kind of people employed in this, okay, to do this kind of work, are taken from a vast majority of people. And these aren't not, you know, your gun-toting thugs like a lot of the left-wing seems to think. These special forces soldiers are not like slack-jaw hicks who drive around in pickup trucks and, you know, and go to
Clan. No, they're highly trained, very intelligent individuals.
Yeah, a lot of them have degrees. These people are not stupid, okay? So if you were to go to a member of Delta Force and say to them, yeah, we're going to blow up these levees in this black neighborhood, okay, that's all about the not what the Special Forces is all about. They're all about, you know, protecting Americans. They're very patriotic in the States there. So I have a problem, and this is another problem I have with the 9/11 theory, where people say, no, it was all orchestrated. There was a lot of people involved. Okay, somebody should speak. Somebody would speak out. This is one kind of the where some of the 9/11 theory. There's some shit going weird with 9/11. Okay, there's some stuff that doesn't add up. I don't know what it is, but there's some shit that doesn't add up there. Okay. But that said, the current conspiracy theory where they lay out, you know, these facts, and that therefore means this. No. That doesn't mean that. It just means there's some facts that don't really make sense. Okay? Now, that said, when you look at this levy here, I can't see the special forces and the military being alert and being engaged in waging warfare against the poor in America. I just can't see that. Because somebody be like, fuck this. Yeah. Fuck this. You know what I mean? And there'd be a lot more.
That would be leaked so fast.
That would get out. And that would get out. And, well, no, they'd be silenced. No. No, it wouldn't be silenced because, well, the CIA would silence them. The CIA is not going to send anybody to go get Delta Force. Let me tell you. Who are they going to send? Ex-Delta Force guys? Not going to happen. You know what I mean? We got assassins. Yeah, they're not as qualified as the Delta guys. Okay, you want to see something funny? Why don't you send a team of like 15 to 20 top CIA guys against a team of 15 to 20 Delta?
See who comes out on top.
Yeah, level playing field. Let's see who wins that. Oh, look at that. Delta took over. Oh, shit. You know what I mean? So, sorry. You know, this kind of a thing here, I think, I don't really know if I buy it, but it's an interesting theory. It's an interesting theory. In space news, the European Space Agency, ESA, great name, says initial testing of a new plasma drive for spacecrafts has been a success. Very positive news.
Cool.
The double-layer thruster is a new kind of ion drive, which could give more power than existing versions. It works by accelerating charged particles between two layers of argon plasma gas, where the atoms have been stripped of electrons. ESA says it has proven the principle and will proceed with simulations and perhaps bigger prototypes. ESA already uses an ion drive on its Smart 1 moon probe, and the U.S. Space Agency NASA deployed one on Deep Space 1, which flew out to the comet Borley in 2001. The concept is very different from a conventional rocket engine powered by chemical reactions. Gas is ionized, and the ions accelerate in a magnetic field, producing a small thrust. This is pretty neat shit here. Although far less powerful than a chemical engine, an ion drive of realistic size can operate for much longer. For deep space missions, it may prove a better option. The new version of the ion drive concept uses a different way of accelerating ions. Essentially, the concept exploits the natural phenomenon we see taking place in space, says Dr. Roger Walker of ESA's Advanced Concepts team. Not a stupid person. When the solar wind, a plasma of electrified glass, is released by the sun, hits the magnetic field of Earth, it creates a boundary consisting of two plasma layers. Each layer has a different electrical properties, and this can accelerate some particles of the wind across the boundary, causing them to collide with the Earth's atmosphere and create the aurora, which is the Northern Lights, as we all know and love it. The concept has been developed by Christine Charles and Rod Boswell at the Australian National University in Canberra. So, way to go, smart people making the ion drives. Good to see. Good to know. Like it a lot.
Get us off this planet.
Yeah, we need to get off the planet in a big time way. In ID news, as the joke goes, on the internet, nobody knows you're a dog. But although anonymity has been part of the internet culture since the first browser, it is also a major obstacle in making the web safe, making the web a safe place to conduct business. Of course, that's really, you know, tragic. Internet fraud and identity theft cost consumers and merchants several $1 billion a year. And many of other more troubling aspects of the internet, from spam emails to sexual predators, also have their roots in the ease of making one's identity hard to find in the online world. Change, however, is on the way. Already, over 20 million PCs worldwide are equipped with a tiny security chip called the Trusted Platform Module. This chip is evil, although it is yet rarely activated. But once merchants and other online services begin to use it, the TPM will do something never before seen on the internet, provide a virtually foolproof verification that you are who you say you are. Now, there's also other problems with this chip. It also utterly destroys your backyard computer mechanic, because all these chips and all these networks and these guys who build their own equipment, the chips all have to sync up, and if you pull a component out, the computer doesn't work anymore. It's a very, very shitty thing they're trying to slide in under as a security measure. And I don't think we're going to be able to stop it. I don't think we are. Unless we, I mean, there's got to be vendors who will build non-ID platform chips, but then what will happen is you'll have websites like eBay, like major fraud websites, are like, guess what? You don't have a trusted ID chip in your computer? Can't shop from us. Fuck you. You know what I mean? So what will happen then is you'll wind up with people building or buying El Cheapo laptops that have VFID chips purely for the purchase of purchase.
Yep.
Like a, it'll be your purchase computer. And then you'll have your other computer that you use for everything else, which would be the way around it. But still, big pain in the ass. Big pain in the ass.
Fuck you, Big Brother.
Yeah, I know. Now, it's funny you should say that, though, because you being part of the military-industrial complex.
The giant war machine.
The giant war machine. You being a right-wing baby-killing psycho.
Oh, yeah.
No, actually, that's bullshit. I don't think you would never kill a baby. I couldn't see that. I couldn't see, unless the kid was holding a weapon of some type, I couldn't see you firing on him. Honest to God.
No, geeking kids really isn't my thing.
No, geeking kids, not on.
I'm in the military, I'm one of the good guys, not the fucking bad guys, like in Africa that wipe out entire villages of people and shit like that.
Yeah, that's fucked up, and they do that shit with machetes and stuff.
Yeah,
like
hose,
intimate range killing.
Yeah, that's the evil shit.
And there's a lot of people who decry the military, but they don't really got a solution for how to stop this, crazy African blood war, bloodlust thing going on. They don't really got a solution for that at all. But they're real quick to say, oh, yeah, you guys are fucking evil. But, yeah, not a lot of solutions being offered. You guys suck! You got anything? No. Are you going to protest? Are you going to sign some fucking petitions? Yeah, that'll work.
No, you keep walking around in circles, bitch.
And if you want to know why, and it's actually the liberal, you know, paperwork crowd that's responsible for a lot of the ethnic cleansing in Bosnia going unstopped, unchecked. There was a lot of people sat back on the hillsides waiting for clearance to go down and stop war crimes from happening, gathering evidence of war crimes that had already happened. But because nobody had the balls to go walking in there and sort it out, well, a lot of people got away with a lot of crimes they shouldn't have.
Oh, yeah.
And persecution did not happen. Now, if Lewis Chesty Puller was there, he would have sorted that shit out. He'd have been like, no, we're coming through. And if they got mines on the road, they'd be like, fuck you, get your mines off the road. And if you want to start shooting, fair fucking ball, because we're here to kill. So get your shit out of the way, or we'll roll over you.
Well, I know of a couple episodes where individual unit commanders and shit like that kind of threw the ROEs and their leashes off and kind of went, you know what? For the greater good and what it means to be a human, fuck the UN's rules. We're doing the right thing, not what we're told.
Without a doubt. And men to the last one to be saluted, honored, and bought drinks for, to be sure. However, what they did was illegal. They violated UN mandate. Now, that is not their fault. They did a good thing by doing that, much like, you know, these protesters ditching the law to go destroy these genetically modified crops. Same sort of idea. But the point is that the left-wing liberal petition-signing crowd wanted the guys to wait, and they had to actually break the law to do their job and do the right thing. And that's how fucking broken the system has become.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And this is why I have long since stated that we need a two-tier society where you have the humanitarian side, and you have the military side. Well, you have the humanities, who make music, culture, art, good movies, great sex, all the rest of it. And then you have military culture, which is the big dog on the fucking leash. And when you decide to go to war, the humanitarian side steps back, you give it to the fucking generals and say, you know what, this is our objective. 3 days later, the generals come back and they say, yeah, we met the objective, here you go, here's the reins back. But you can't try to fucking get guys to fight a war with one hand tied around their nuts. It's not going to work.
Doesn't help anybody, and it gets the soldiers killed.
And it does. And they wind up, and more than that, you know, especially within the previous Yugoslavia conflict and a lot of these conflicts where UN guys are, more than anything else, the soldiers feel totally useless. They feel impotent. They feel like they can't do anything. And that's very destructive to their mind psyche.
Oh, it fucks them up royally, man. I know lots of guys that came back with, like, divorces, drinking problems, heads full of trauma and shit like that because they witnessed all these fucking heinous crimes. Like, fucking nasty fucking shit.
Yeah, the dark
and,
stuff.
They were literally across the road looking at these fucking guys doing this shit.
Unallowed to do a goddamn thing.
And they got the fingers on the trigger, right? And the aggressors and all the rest of the shit, a couple of stories I heard about from, you know, the former Yugoslavia there. You know, the guys, you know, the Croats, the Serbs, the Bosnians, whoever just happened to be in that incident, were fucking egging these guys on. And they knew that under the UN banner, they couldn't do fuck all, eh? Couldn't do fuck all.
So, you know, when you have the bad guys using your rule book against you, you know, what do you do there? Not everyone's following the fucking rules. Well, you know, we all have to follow the rules. Well, people don't. It doesn't happen like that in war. The rule book goes out the fucking window. And I've said it before, I'll say it again. The Geneva Convention, nice idea, doesn't fucking work. When you try to say that warfare has rules, you decrease the horror of war. You decrease the perception that war is not the most horribly violent, hellish thing in the world, okay? Which it is! And it must be avoided at all costs! But when you say that there's somehow rules, it makes war more likely. People think that they follow rules, and that everyone's like, oh, somehow there'll be some rules involved here. No! It's gonna go right out the fucking window. So the thing is, you must try to avoid war at all costs. But once it's fucking here, once it is declared and there is war, it must be stopped by any means necessary, and you should leave that to the professionals in charge of it. I don't get my hairdresser to come over here and garden. That's not what I do, because my hairdresser doesn't know fuck all about gardening. I don't have my gardener fix my hair. So what the fuck does a bureaucrat know about war? Nothing. He doesn't know a fucking thing. Guy's never fired a shot in his life, never seen tactical reality, has no battle wisdom. What are they doing there? Well, if they're not there, the generals go off the chain and they'll kill everybody. No, they won't. No, they won't. No, they won't. Check your fucking history, okay? Have a bit of faith in your military structure. You know what I mean? But anyway, some of the best people, as a matter of fact, I would even go to say the best people I've ever met in my life were in the military. The most moral and definitely the most honorable were in the military. And there's a lot of guys who are in the Army, and they're like, and there's a lot of ex, I know there's a lot of ex guys who are in the Army, right, or who were in the Army, out now for 5, 6, 7, 8 years. They left the Army because they thought it was fucked. But out here in the civvy side, straight up, which is more fucked, civilian life or military life? Which is more fucked? You tell me. You know how I feel about it, because I'm getting back in. But you tell me, man, which is more fucked up, the military life or the civilian life? You know, we'll just take a poll on that shit. Anyway. Ooh, that makes me mad. I've also burned off all my time here, too. Shit. Alrighty. So, I got time for my daily hack, which is Mac spoofing to combat this whole VFID thing. Did you ever get bored with your old Mac address? If you did, this is the solution. Mac Makeup lets you change the Mac address of any of the interface present on your Windows 2000 XP 2003 box. Sometimes this is referred to as Mac address spoofing. You can choose a new address of your choice, or get the new one with the help of a tool which sets the OID parts according to your preference. And that's all I got for you today. But don't worry, I will be back tomorrow to make sure you get all the information you need to stay alive. This has been a free broadcast, brought to you by the generous donations of 62 people, total donators from the month of November, 2 new donators, 10 one-time donators, 50 continuing donators. And thanks again to everyone and their assistance of gathering data. If you have access to sensitive information or any of the pertinent stories, please email them to Newsreel, that's N-E-W-S-R-E-A-L, at randradio.com. If you like the music in the background, be sure to pick up the Whack Tracks Black Box, and this is disc 3 of that same compilation. And I'm going to leave you now with a good track by Godsmack called I Stand Alone. So until tomorrow, you got anything else?
Believe it or not, I'm actually not going to be on the show tomorrow, so you can have your study back. But
I'll make sure to fortify.
You do that. Dig in, bitch. Dig in.
So until tomorrow, that is what server said. End of line.